You are listening to the Green Lantern Corecast, episode 28. This episode,
I'll form the head. Welcome, everybody, to the Green Lantern Corecast. I'm your host, Frank Mateo, and joining me today are Kuhan, the small but irresistible love of most things internet-related, Colton, enjoyer of all things Mortal Kombat, Eric, you know Eric, Andrew NDB, the creator and the host of the Green Lantern Core Forums, P-Bing, more than likely enjoying some sort of entertainment from the TV, and Brandon West, who is sort of heartbroken at the moment. How are you guys doing?
I'm pretty good. We're missing the most important member of the cast tonight, Tony Bedard.
Yeah, you know what? That was great. That interview we did earlier today, that'll definitely be released soon, guys.
That'll be pretty good.
That was the interview we've done so far on this cast. I mean, it was breathtaking. It was,
It touched me as a fan.
It kept us... Kept us on our seats.
It was the wind beneath our wings.
I felt like we went to bed with Tony Bedard. Honestly, I'm going to say that flat out. You're right, bed with Tony Bedard, waking him up for the interview,
was,
you know.
Cuddling. It was rather intimate at that, yeah.
It was very... Now, what we're actually going to be doing today is actually going to review the two issues of Green Lantern that came out this week, which is Green Lantern 65 and Green Lantern Core number 59. Part 4 and 5 of the War of Green Lantern series?
Or 6 or 7, depending on if you count the two prequels, yeah.
There were prequels?
Well, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
You're confusing me here.
It's fine.
I'm easy confused right now. Don't be telling me stuff I don't know.
It's okay, Frankie. We'll get through it together.
Now, Green Lantern 65 deals with the breathtaking escape of... Captain Highball Jordan and Guy Gardner from the what's it called, Green World, Green Planet, Green something or other,
Green
and Greenhouse,
the greenhouse, and of course the elusive supersonic jet fighter plane that apparently has to be turned and steered manually from hitting planets and suns
across the universe. Like, that makes
across
any goddamn sense?
The universe.
Gotta avoid suns. Like, you're gonna be within thousands of miles of the sun when you realize it's gravitational pull. You fucking moron. You're a fucking moron.
Apparently, Hal is the greatest pilot in the universe.
He does. Apparently, he has to be.
You don't even need to be if you're flying. Whatever. He just doesn't know how gravity works. That's all.
He was flying through super space. We all know that. He just ducked out at the last 500 miles.
Anyway, I don't know if you guys can tell. I thought this issue was pretty stupid.
Well, first off, the whole having to dodge planets. I mean, what else do we have in addition? We have Kilowog being possessed. We have more Parallax stuff. Krona for a short while, and the reveal of what we all said was going to happen last episode. The Earth Green Lanterns having to use the different cores power rings just to fight back. So what? What can we say about that, basically? The entire Blue Lantern, Kyle Rayner, Indigo Lantern, John Stewart, Red Lantern, Guy Gardner, which is obvious, and the Sinestro Corps member, Hal Jordan, was supposed to be the biggest reveal, especially with the variant cover or the main cover having him hidden for the past couple of months as the newest member of the Sinestro Corps.
Yeah, I do have one thing to say. Purple is not a good color for camouflage, generally speaking.
Yeah, there's a lot wrong with this. I want to really quick go into the beginning of the issue right before we get into that, if you guys don't mind. I mean, it's kind of interesting how Guy is characterized here. I mean, Guy is kind of characterized as like 90s Guy, you know, like a coward, a bully, a moron. You know, at one point he's like, let's put our rigs back on for a second. I'm like, what? Like, have you not been paying attention to like the moments before when you almost kill each other with your rings, you know? And then, you know, I'm kind of just whining and pissing the rest of the time. And I feel like as much as Guy's characterization has pretty much just been 90s Guy, you know, when Peter Tomasi and everybody else is writing him, they've given him a little bit of development where he's like kind of a leader-like character. And, you know, I feel like it's almost more like he would have taken point here, because even during the Emerald Warriors issue, it just felt more like it was Guy's show. And now it's almost like Geoff Johns just kind of reversing that to give –
Well, of course, he has a downplay him for the sake.
Well, I don't know.
Well, it's not really downplaying when it's the first time he's around his, where he's going.
It's the first time he's been around his buddy Hal in a while. I mean, he's around his buddy. It's different.
Not to mention he's on a planet Hal knows more than him.
He doesn't have
Hal.
He doesn't have to be Guy the leader here. He just has to, you know.
It just feels like he's being like a chicken shit, you know, like, and especially when he's like, how are we going to do it, Hal? There's 1,000 of those guys. It's like, aren't you the same guy who like led, you know, all the Corps against the unstoppable Black Lantern Corps, you know, and didn't stop? I mean, all of a sudden you're fucking scared of goddamn Kilowog. Like, I mean, really? I mean, I don't know. It just feels like he's writing him as like I said, when Guy first showed up as a Steve Englehart character and was like a bully and a coward and stuff. And that's just not who he is anymore. You know, he wouldn't be pissing and moaning like this. I mean, obviously, you just want to play the characters off each other, but I mean, you know, and he wants to be like, oh, look, Hal's really brave, and Guy's not. It's like, but he is. I mean, he's braver, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm just maybe nitpicking, but I happen to think that you kind of downplay the character to the kind of a detrimental way. I don't even like Guy Gardner that much, you know?
That's good.
Anyway, this is fine.
Anybody else want to add to the rest of the issue, like what they thought?
I enjoyed it. We're done.
No, I enjoyed it. For the most part, I thought, aside from Hal's yeehaw, I thought the whole interaction with the plane, or the jet rather, was good. I thought the art was great. We'll talk more about art in the next issue. But for the most part, this art was beautiful. I thought Doug did a great job with expressions, showing guys expression, like just looking at Hal when he saw the beer, and I thought the little moments like those remind me of what my favorite moment of last year was, when Geoff Johns slowed things down. It just creates for a better book when we don't have anything to rush into, and by the end of this issue we're thrown right back into the shit and it's weaker for it. So yeah. I think when he balances it between the personal stuff and the action stuff, that's when Geoff is on his game. But hopefully we'll get more of that.
That's really the saddest part of a story like this, where it's like you really see him. Like, it's – you almost see that he's tortured by doing this. Like, you can tell he really, really doesn't want to do this. But when he does, it's like we actually see a little bit of good writing come out of him, and it's sad.
All right. What can we say about the Earth Lanterns getting the different rings?
I thought it was pretty predictable. I don't think anybody expected John to pick up the orange ring or anybody to pick up the Star Sapphire ring.
I really wanted Guy in the Crystal Thong. I'm sorry. Entire book is the buddy cop, and my favorite pages were the ambiguously gay pages. So I was a little bummed that no one picked up the pink ring.
I gotta say, I was honestly halfway expecting him to give the pink ring to Kyle, just because that would just have been no surprise at all that they would do that.
Yeah, even Johns realizes that's too much on the nose to do.
Yeah. Otherwise.
Too much on the nose, or too much, you know,
that's not where the ring goes.
The hatred.
Well, it would have been no mystery.
Because I don't think it's that far-fetched of an idea for him to pick up the Star Sapphire.
I kind of wish, I mean, the fans get really worked up about it because they're homophobic. I kind of wish they would have picked a male Star Sapphire by now. I mean, we were told we were going to get one, but it turned to be a dude possessing, you know, the rapist predator. You know, and like, that's not what I actually would have been cool to see one of these guys do the pink thing and kind of like justify it. I mean, imagine putting a pink ring on Jon Stewart, who wouldn't care, you know, or Kyle Rayner, who'd be totally okay with it, or Guy Gardner, who would hate it, but then comes to love it by the end of the story. Then you get like, at least like, oh yeah, everybody thought it was a really big fucking joke, but look, we're not homophobes, except, you know, DC obviously is, right? So, I mean, but there's also a bunch of homophobic baiting language in the middle of the issue. I mean, it's funny when Hal thinks that Guy's got a boner deep in his back, but dear Lord, why does Hal think Guy's got a boner deep in his back? You know, just to make fun of Guy because he doesn't, like, want to cram in a tight spot.
Come on, guys. DC aren't homophobes. They released Batwoman.
Sometime in the
They will release Batwoman. Well, not even the homophobic thing. I think it's more of a sexist thing that they need to deal with. Because, I mean, the longer you keep a man out of that costume, you're just saying men can't love.
Exactly. And it's insulting, and it's almost absurd that something like the Star Sapphire corpse, an all women corpse who hunt the universe, telling everybody they love them, making out with them, and boning them to cure them and shit, is like, what year is this? I mean, that's ridiculous. That's like reading like one of these 1930s books where, like, you know, some white man conquers the unknown part of Africa, and there's a tribe of pink nymphos that are there that just need to be fucked, and he does it to save their lives and stuff. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous.
It'd be one thing if they had the Zamorans come out and say, yes, it can only be women, but they never have. It's just stupid.
We've only ever seen it, and the Zamorans, they were very gender specific when they first showed up. It should be mentioned by someone that they're bigots, if anything. I mean, that would justify it, but they haven't. Yeah. They're just kind of letting it go, you know, and the only characters capable of love are the fucking, you know, Zamorans and stuff. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Again, Kyle does fit all the criteria to actually wear a Star Sapphire ring, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, Kyle's the most balanced character in this group. I mean, I was saying this before, that there's a line that Guy has that he's like, oh, give it to Mr. Thoughtful over here. And then Kyle's like, leave me alone, man. And it's kind of like supposedly Guy's way of saying, huh, give it to Mr. Homo over here. But it's like, what he's saying is that Kyle is the most developed character. He's like, out of everyone in this room, we're all one dimensional except for Kyle, you know, so he can pretty much just wear any of the rings. And he can. I mean, you know, and it's almost like Tony Bedard said that in an interview. He's like, oh, Kyle's the most well-balanced. And it's almost his way of saying he's boring because he doesn't have any conflict anymore. But it's not really that. It's just, like I said, he has like an actual personality. In the past 10 years that Kyle's been around, or 15 years he's been around, he's different from when he started, you know, because he's developed as a character.
Guys, he was our only hope.
Oh, I see what you did there.
It's like, Gambit, weren't you winking at me and screaming hope?
It's like, no, you're winking at me.
No, you idiot.
You bold and italicized the word hope. I thought you meant something like that.
Kyle, what are you smoking? I didn't bold any words.
It was in blue and had the symbol behind it and everything.
Okay, calm down a bit.
And then there's this bit where Kyle says, you know, I mean, obviously they're trying to figure out their personalities, and, you know, John is the stoic one, and Guy is the rowdy one, and Hal is the funny one, and Kyle's the little brother. And that would be fine in almost any other circumstance, except for the guy's, you know, held his own for so long. And I mean, even when he first started, he was kind of arrogant and shitty about how he used to deal with this stuff. Him saying something like, I hope it's okay if I get this blue ring. It's like, you're talking about the fucking dude who just walked into the JLA and was like, I'm part of you guys, fuck off. You know what I mean? Like, you know, all of a sudden he's like begging John Stewart for scraps. John Stewart, the guy who murdered an entire planet and his own little sister, might I add, like, you know, who's had no development the past couple of years except to retroactively make a Marine in Iraq, you know, I mean, so he's seen combat in the last 10 years, but whatever. It just, the whole thing is a little, you know, I'm ranting about
it. Did anybody pause for a second when they read the Iraq line and just,
yes,
like, well, that's,
yeah,
I was, well, like, well, dates do change, you do realize, in the DC universe.
Yeah, I mean,
we've been at war in Iraq for 10 years now. Yeah, so I mean,
it might have even been Iraq One,
which would actually make him too old, because if he's in Iraq One, he'd have to be like 50 now or 45 or something like that, and they probably don't want to age John like that.
That was the 90s, right? So he could have been
he could be in his late 30s, early 40s, depending upon when he was.
Yeah, maybe Iraq One.
He could have gone in when he was 18.
Wait, if he fought in Iraq One,
he could have been 18 if he fought in the first Iraqi War.
We cannot justify this.
They need to do, honestly, exactly, the whole John
record. He's older than Hal. I mean, I've always kind of pegged him.
Yeah.
Do we really need to have this discussion about the age of John?
No, we've seen, his retconning the Marine thing is really damaging to his continuity, because technically you can never read a John Stewart story written before Rebirth and have it make any sense whatsoever, because he's been a Marine since, you know, Rebirth or whatever.
He's like a Marine architect for some reason. That doesn't even
make sense. I mean, what did he do? What did he go to school for? When did all this Cat Matui stuff happen? I mean, they need to do a secret origins for John, at the least, just to clarify what happened to him in the Marines. I mean, that he never went to. You know, I mean, you know, he was a protester, for goodness sake, when he first showed up. Like, how much, you know, was he? He was a Vietnam veteran. I mean, what are we even talking about here? I mean, it's just unfortunate that such a driving force of his character, considering he's completely made up because of the TV show, you know?
And also, why is he wearing camouflage that's purple? But that's
because he didn't want to wear the Speedo, everybody was saying.
He didn't want to wear the loin cloth.
Yeah, he didn't want to go Tarzan on us.
Well, it looks like the idea being that
have a bigger problem with the gun staff business.
That was awkward. Yeah.
It's like, really? Come on, man.
You're forcing it.
The idea is that the Indigos wear outfits that are similar to what they already wear. I mean, because Black Hand just wore his costume, you know, and all the Indigo guys are wearing that tribal shit, but then it's kind of like, all right, well, that's just what they wear. But then the Atom wore that insane tribal shit when he was an Indigo. I mean, why does John get to bypass
with pants? He had pants, too.
Yeah.
John knows what he's doing, at least.
I think John could be wearing – I don't understand why they didn't just do the Kyle thing with John where he's just wearing his costume, except it's Indigo.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Kyle's costume.
Yeah, just Kyle's costume, but blue.
Just yeah, it's like come on, like this guy, the guy who people keep saying, "Oh my God, Kyle wears too many different costumes," and he keeps changing costumes every 5 minutes, and then he gets a chance to change the costume, and nothing happens.
I know. Maybe that's a chance to finally try to start changing that, where he actually gets a consistent costume.
Well, here's I've gone on the record.
He has a stupid anyway, so whatever.
I've gone on the record before saying the costume he currently has is my favorite costume that he's ever had, bar none. I'm kind of happy they kept it as the same costume. I just wish he would have kept the white gloves. I think the white gloves are kind of a trademark of the Green Lanterns, and it's unfortunate that nobody has them except for Hal and Kyle.
Well, but he's not a Green Lantern right now, so.
No, I know, but it would still be cool if he had the white gloves. That would probably bring the whole outfit better. Guy has that whole white weird ensemble thing with the patches and pouches and stuff.
Power gloves, yeah.
Yeah. I also think that guy getting the red ring, obviously that's going to play into his story more, but I think it's kind of weird how we spent like a year guy getting over the red ring.
When
all of a sudden he's like, nah, give it to me. It's like there's other rings there, dude. I mean, like, especially considering no one else claimed the other ones yet. You know what I mean? And someone in the someone should have taken it for the team. John should have taken one for the team and said, no, I'll take a red ring because obviously guy has so much trouble with it. There's no reason to like, you know, make it worse than it is. You know what I mean?
No, that doesn't make any sense because you don't want to. Well, subject two people to
the case could be made that he's fought through it before, so maybe he could.
Well, I mean, like Hal's done it too. Like you're gonna give it to
not successfully,
not nearly as good.
Yeah, but Hal's never even had problems with it. Yeah, Hal was a Red Lantern for like 3 seconds, was fixed by the Blue Lanterns, and he was all set. I mean, this also begs the question: is how come they haven't dragged Guy over to a Blue Lantern to purify him completely, and why he's
they did, and Bleach took him away.
Yeah, exactly. You don't remember that happened in the Mulroys, remember?
I don't remember
Remember the 6-issue long 2-issue arc?
I don't remember that. But all right, that makes perfect sense then. But why? How come there hasn't? I mean, he was sitting on OO for weeks. I mean, why didn't he do it any time earlier? I mean, you know, and
because apparently that whole process after Blackest Night only happened probably like 2 days before he had to go off and patrol the unknown sectors.
Blood all the time.
Is anybody okay with this? You know, like the fact that they're all different colors. Anybody think it's like cool?
I don't think it's cool. I mean, I don't. By this time,
I wouldn't say that I think it's cool, but I have less of a problem than I thought I'd have.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, I'm waiting for them to get their fifth ranger, but you know, like,
yeah. Well, Gambit's sort of their fifth ranger.
If they only had that fifth lion, they could form Voltron. Yeah, exactly. Is all I'm going to
say. Well, the pink is left, so you know she'll form the head, right? Because that's all they're good for.
Oh, Eric, no.
Shit. I'm not saying that's true for my opinion. It's just like a bullshit opinion of DC Universe.
I'm kind of wanting to see if these guys will be able to tap into their powers a little bit differently with their experience with Green Rings as they get more used to their new rings. Like maybe Kyle learning how to use his ring more offensively or only power up Gambit versus everyone else.
I mean, I guess are we already talking about Core then?
Yeah, what you get
no,
to
well,
the
well, we're gonna be moving into Core right now.
So, yeah. Let's move into Core.
Yeah, I think want to say Doug Mankey.
Doug did it.
Right?
Like, yeah. Doug Mankey did a superb job doing the artwork.
Except for the last H, it was really, really good art. I do want to say it's kind of annoying how the Green Lanterns are all possessed and then they're just kind of fighting like Superman. You know, like they're not using any constructs; they're just running in there and punching shit. And it really takes away a lot of the threat because now basically they're just big missiles that they have to avoid as opposed to actual thinking. You know, like
Jordan versus. I was looking at that page with the ship going down. Like, there's like a million Green Lanterns just like attacking the ship, and they don't notice like the escape pod. They couldn't like make a big ass net, or any one of a million different constructs to stop this.
Well, again,
happening.
you can question it by saying that they pretty much have no willpower of their own anymore.
Yeah, but then that's like, what's the point of having them be the enemies anyway? Because then they're just big missiles, you know. And then Hal's able to set the escape pod to find John and Kyle, and yet they're able to escape the Green Lanterns easily. And there's thousands of them, and they're all over the planet. I mean, why can't they just set an escape pod to find them? You know what I mean? There's too many holes in the story, just
because
logically.
Because Krona's not that smart.
But the guy invented emotions or something.
His goal isn't to.
No. Krona's just emotionally unbalanced. That's all Krona is.
Well, like, he's bipolar,
Parallax,
and he invented.
Parallax
and he invented the pi.
Right?
And he invented the pi.
Okay.
And he invented
how
the bipolar machine.
How did he leave Earth-1?
Damn it!
let's not talk about Trinity because we're talking about Green Lantern Corps number 59 right now.
That is how you segue right there.
Pretty much a continuation of the story left off after all the after the Earthbound Green Lanterns get the different multicolored rings and the they reestablish Gambit to fighting a bunch of Green Lanterns by himself with just the power of his guardian power, which is again weirded out because I have no idea what he's doing anymore. And his disapproval of them having these rings at all, which is sort of strange as you think in a story, story wise. Especially
like the Yeah. It's like the last issue with a big fan wank of a bunch of fans standing around saying who should get the ring. And then this issue is a bunch of different fans arguing with the first fans from the other issue. I mean, it's almost like Tony Bedard or whoever was responsible for the dialogue in this issue, saying like, no, those were dumb decisions and I'm going to say it right here in the story.
I mean, to be fair, he's right.
And it's pretty heartbreaking to say that all these characters, apparently, even though they're accustomed to these powers, have no idea what they're doing with their rings.
I just kind of realized, aren't these the exact things that everybody on the internet ever said ever's going to happen? Like, everybody said, hey, guys, John's going to get indigo, and Kyle's going to get blue, and Hal's going to get yellow, and Guy's going
to
get red.
It took them like 2 years to get to this, and this is the best they can do. I mean, it's like the Hal being a White Lantern all over again, then everybody being like, oh, I bet by the end there's White Lanterns, and Geoff Johns being like, no, and then there's White Lantern. He's like, oh, well, I bet you Hal will get the White Lantern. No, idiots. And then he's a White Lantern an issue later. I mean, it's like, it's unfortunate. It's like the Swamp Thing thing all over again, right? It's like a year, no clues it's going to be Swamp Thing. The fans are just like, well, we know DC. We know how DC operates, so it's going to be Swamp Thing. And DC is like, yeah, I guess, forget it. It's just Swamp Thing. I mean, it's like, why not try to surprise the fans to do something different? I mean, why be so,
predictable?
Direct in you're pandering. I mean,
Yeah, man. Give us the Star Sapphire Kyle Rayner.
Yes, please.
Yeah, if you want to pander to the fans, why don't you give us what we most asked for? Star Sapphire Kyle Rayner.
Because
I was looking forward to this because for me, War of the Green Lanterns, if you're Green Lanterns fight each other, I want to see, I've said this a million times, I want to see Salak versus Guy Gardner. I want to see fucking Metaphil versus John Stewart. I want to see these characters I've known for like my entire life fight each other, all out battle, an excuse to hurt each other. And this is just, like I said, a bunch of missiles fighting. It's a complete waste of time. It's a waste of everybody's time, this storyline. I mean, I was really looking forward to it. And unless something changes drastically in the next two issues,
Is that all it's left?
No, it's like six more issues, right?
Is it? I thought it was like
so. We're halfway through the story, and there's not even any goddamn
five more issues.
It's a 9-issue thing, right?
Plus the aftermath.
Is it 12? I thought it was 9.
It's 10.
Is it 10? So it's 4 more issues.
No, it's 5 more issues because this is issue 5.
This is 5. I thought it was 6. My bad. Okay.
Then the
search for Mogo 3-parter, right?
Yeah. This is the what is it, like 15th issue in a row that Tony Bedard's written, and the 15th issue in a row where Kyle's getting slapped around by somebody. I mean. What is this idiot just standing there trying to look at his ring while he's getting smashed by giant hammers? And, I mean, obviously this is setting up for later in the story, him doing something pretty amazing with the ring and everything. And that's great. But I mean, what does that mean for me now just to watch him get treated like a moron all over again?
What, was Kyle supposed to instantly know how to work the ring perfectly and just destroy all the Green Lanterns?
No, well, but I mean,
just not stare at his ring when the shit's going down.
On a more positive note.
The art was garbage.
Let's just talk about the art.
Yeah, the art was pretty atrocious. I mean, I know some of you guys like Tyler Kirkham, and I know we're friendly with him and stuff, but the guy can't draw. I think it should just be staged.
See, I don't know. I kind of dug certain scenes of it.
Yeah, I mean,
same here.
Enlighten us.
It was enlighten us
as to which scenes you actually mean.
Well, I like the very first kind of big splash page, just that the design of all the guys is just slightly different. Mostly my eyes keep going back to Guy Gardner just looking like evil incarnate. And Hal, in both of these issues, I actually liked Hal. And I had to read both of them a second time just to make sure that I wasn't having some sort of psychotic episode. But I did kind of like it. I was also kind of tickled that that Kyle glows blue when orcs are near. Not to mix too many metaphors, but then you flip over to the next page, and then you have Lord of the Rings.
I thought Hal looked absolutely like awful in this book.
He looked awful in this. It doesn't help that the Sinestro Corps uniform doesn't look right on him, and he really is drawn poorly.
Yeah, no, it just looked terrible.
looks like Luke from Gilmore Girls, just a big guy, no hair, just not looking good.
It doesn't help that he's scowling the whole time.
Well, I just
is that scowling? Sure. I thought that was smiling. Who can tell what's
Helicopter? I just noticed that it's actually Hal that saves Kyle when the hammer comes down.
Yeah, the yellow bubble.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, yeah. John tries to do something but fails at it. And
that's the thing, that Hal is the only one that can actually do anything.
Nice.
Like, I don't know. No, Guy's really good at the vomit blood. No,
that's the thing. Guy spits blood, and then Hal does things. And then the other two are like, oh, I can't do anything. I'm so confused. What do I do?
Kyle, what are you doing?
Kyle's actually hurting their own front. Like, it's ridiculous. Oh my God.
I gotta say, Tyler Kerman cannot do perspective that well. I mean, Mulgo being in the sky during that whole scene with the rest of Green Lanterns makes absolutely no sense.
It's fine.
Oh my God.
I thought Mulgo was like 5 feet away from them.
Yeah, it looks he's like right there. Just
it looks like just a slightly larger Green Lantern. Yeah, yeah. I'm having wet dreams thinking about how Patrick Gleason would have drawn it, but I think that's just my nostalgia poking through. I mean, and look at this background. I mean, they're all standing by swirls, smokes, and bricks. Like, there's the guys not even drawing backgrounds on this shit, you know? What planet are they on? Why does this look the exact – is this the exact same planet as the last issue? Because, I mean the last issue, the last storyline? Because this looks like –
it looks like they're on Quart.
It's Quart all over again. Yeah. It's like nobody even told the colorist. Like, just color it differently. Like, since when is Oa red all over?
You know, it would make sense of Cord being the antimatter Oa and all.
Well, yeah, but it should – that means they should look different.
It should look completely different, yeah.
It should just be a recolor.
Yeah, well,
I'm ripping on a lot. I feel like I should say something nice.
Can you about this issue?
Yeah. There's
I don't
mind Kyle's costume being the same. I also like he's one of the first guys to draw Guy's red costume prominently that isn't Patrick Gleason or Doug Mankey, and it looks terrible because he like draws it. Like they do a lot of letting the black space talk for itself and stuff, and he just kind of draws it. So that's a really good costume design he kind of ruins. And for a lot of the times it looks like his belt is a film strip. I don't really know what that's about. It's like whatever. I can't even read this comic with the art the way looking the way it does. What do we think about this story so far? Because we're either halfway through it or a third or two thirds of the way through it, and
halfway.
Not much has really happened.
Actually, when you were thinking,
well, there's plenty of things that happen. We can imagine. Yeah. I mean, the Green Lanterns have been possessed by you know, paralyzing Krona. The Guardians have been possessed by the ancient entities. The core, the new Guardians got trapped in a book, so they're lost for the time being. In order for them to fight back, they have to use now the new Guardians' rings to fight back against their, you know, missile friends. You know, now we have the learning curve now to use these new emotions, having to sort of use their neglecting emotions, I would say, to, like, you know, fight back against, you know, I guess to win the upper hand and save the day, I guess.
Yeah.
So, I guess a few things have occurred, you know, in relatively the fashion that we wanted them to happen. Not really, but it's happening.
I mean, like I said, I was kind of looking forward to the actual Green Lanterns fighting and as opposed to the human missile. I mean, I talked to Frankie about this before this issue came out, and I said, I bet you the next two issues of GL are going to be – one issue is going to be all about them deciding which rings to take, and the next issue is going to be all about them using the new ring. So we're wasting two storylines in the middle of War of the Green Lanterns dealing with the other core again, even though it was sworn to us the other corps were going to be stuck in a book the whole time.
It was well, fantastically halfway through the best story.
That's what seems weird to me. It's just that everything's put on pause while we deal with more other core stuff in the middle of what's supposed to be – very
well,
much
again,
a Green Lantern core.
In their mindset, they're not dealing with other cores. We're dealing with same characters, but with
the same characters,
but with the new core rings.
Right.
So it
really should have been an ethical battle about who's taking what side with the Guardians against the Guardians. It should have been a choice thing, not a mind control. You have to take these other rings to save yourself.
Right. That's our belief that it should, in our opinion, that this should have been more of a war of ideologies rather than a war that we're seeing here. But again, it's. The story is not over. We are halfway through it. A few things have occurred. We'll eventually get some sort of, you know, a big, you know, drawn out war between the new Earthlanders with their new powers against the entities and Krona. And we're probably going to get some sort of say about how there's going to be a lasting ramifications over what's going to go down.
Everything will change.
Right.
I'm kind of excited about next issue though.
What I think is cool is the cover to this issue. I think it's really cool that they like had like a contest to have somebody draw their like draw the cover and like send it in, and then get that to be the cover. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's really cool content.
That's not very LaPresti.
I like LaPresti a lot.
I like him too. He did some awesome Wonder Woman stuff, but this is not his best work by any means.
That is not his best work at all, though.
I honestly thought
Hal kind of looks like he's 12 years old.
I like the composition, but it's just, I don't know, the inking or something, it's just, it's not, it's terrible. It's not.
Like, I legitimately thought it was fan art by this guy I saw online like a month earlier.
Yeah, I did too. I saw it. It's like, come on, that's not real. That's
no. Hal's got no definition in his face whatsoever.
No, not at all.
It's a little half-drawn. Yeah, it's a little half-drawn.
It's not good.
I mean, I like some of it, but it's a little half-drawn. It's cartoonish.
It was like Hal's about to donkey punch Hal.
Maybe if they put some trails behind him, I don't know. It just, it looks shit.
Very staticky. Count that with Doug Mankey's cover of with the completely unnecessary, again, another misleading cover for the sake of just being shit assholes. You know, having the entire Sinestro Corps smirking at Hal Jordan in the back, implying that, you know, he actually joins them when he just puts the ring on for 20 minutes, you know. Well, but that's an awesome
laugh.
That is a lovely cover. I like that.
I'm pretty surprised that John Stewart's idea of a Marine uniform looks nothing like a Marine uniform.
Actually, yeah, guys. It's almost like nobody knows anything about John Stewart or the Marines. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I felt a little uncomfortable with John Stewart's kind of outfit. It very
Purple
much
rain
looked
outfit.
Like sort of I was thinking more of kind of
too, like
African militant. I saw a play not too long ago called Ruined, and it's about all the bad stuff going on in Rwanda, and that's kind of what that kind of harkened to me. And I was like, wow, I have a little bit of white liberal guilt looking at that picture. I'm just going to go to the next page. So you
can escape it. Can escape it. Too much of him all over those pages.
Listen, the only thing, it doesn't matter what ring he's wearing or what color he is, the only thing John Stewart has to do is stay black.
Stay black. Yeah, it's stay black.
That and he was and Zanshi. Something about Zanshi has to stay black, Cat Matui something, and was a Marine. That's the only thing that we all need to know about John Stewart, so don't worry about it.
I will now sleep better tonight. Thank you.
I want to hear Colton say something nice about this issue.
Let's see. What can I say that's nice about this issue? I'm going to think about this one.
You started this, Eric.
I'm just kidding. Don't mind me. I kind of like the idea that we're going to be able to see them slowly gain more control or more attempt to release their emotions, because let's be honest, some of these characters, especially Hal, kind of need a chance to set their emotions out. It's just something that's been needed to be done, and I think it has a lot of potential to be fun. I mean, right now they're not doing jack crap except for Hal, who apparently is the only person who's worn any summer ring before, but yeah. It's definitely going to be interesting when it happens next issue, or the issue after that, or after that. My problem with this is what I had the problem with in Emerald Warrior. It seems like this is too much stretched out for us. What could be more compressed into a tight little section of more well written dialogue.
Wait, I thought we asked you to say something nice about this issue.
I had to put a little bit out there negative. I can't be all positive sunshine, cheery sparkles.
Yes, you can.
Colton, why do we have you here if you can't be all sunshine sparkles?
Fine. Happy times. I'm excited to see Mogo fight. I want to see what Kyle does with this ring. That's going to be exciting. I don't actually mind the art. In some places, I do like it. There's one or two places that kind of, but for the most part, I'm fine with it.
Give me happy.
I also like Gamfit's nub beam, because he apparently uses one at one point.
I like them fighting Mogo, because I think Mogo has saved the day so many times in the last couple of storylines. He's gotten really smug, and I like to see him taking down a few pegs. So.
I know what would be the perfect thing for you to happen. Kyle soloing Mogo when he uncovers the full time ring.
I'm sorry, I read that annual. He soloed Mogo already.
He did. Absolutely.
He soloed Mogo
and Necron.
And Necron.
In the same issue.
and
the whole Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah, Kyle already did this.
Literally.
No, I mean in modern continuity.
We're not kidding.
It counts.
This is modern continuity. It counts. It's there.
Yeah, it was re-referenced in Blackest Night, actually. Like, he's met. Yeah, it's.
He already fought some Black Lanterns, you fuckers. So he could sit this one out. He's like, I already got this feat. I don't need this. I'm not going to get any PS3 points.
I've already got my achievement.
Yeah, I'm not going to get tier 1 armor for this. I already have that feat point for the week, defeating Mogo single-handed in under 10 minutes. Well, what do you guys think is going to happen? I mean, are we all happy with who got what rings? I mean, I don't even know if we talked about that.
I mean, honestly, it was all already there to begin. We already knew this was gonna happen. There's nothing to actually be happy about with these characters. With these characters actually have these rings on. It's just, yeah, I guess I recall this last issue. I went, yeah, Hal's gonna get the yellow ring. A lot of people call like, really? Hal's gonna get the yellow ring? Yes, Hal is gonna get the yellow ring. There's no hints here.
He had to wear the costume eventually, the actual modern one.
I think the most important thing is the ending, because when this is all over, they have to give those rings back. And
who the hell says they have to give those rings back? That's the funny
thing. They belong to the other core members. I mean,
yes, but again, the funniest thing about that is that they're still Green Lanterns. You can literally say, wait a second, you guys are only half of you guys actually are good guys. I don't need to give you guys back rings for any reason.
Right, they don't need to get the rings back. I mean, if they could just try to keep them.
They had the treaty, guys, the treaty.
Well, this is
sorry, St. Walker, but you have to get a new damn ring. This is mine now.
Now, to put the elephant in the room, do you guys think that Kyle will keep the blue ring and we'll get a Blue Lantern series?
Well, I don't think series, but we're definitely going to see him keep that ring
and stay in GLC.
I think Kyle's going to die.
Yeah.
You know, he could stay in GLC as a Blue Lantern part and stay with Natu, kind of a team thing.
Well, it wouldn't be that dramatic, though, because they're making it. If somebody leaves the core, they're making it seem like it's a big thing that's leaving. Like they're actually leaving the core as opposed to being a Blue Lantern, which would just add you to the core. I mean, Kyle would have to leave the series if he became. But you know what the deal is? I think because now Guy, for the foreseeable future of all these, the Rainbow Core stuff, is going to be seen as partially connected to the Red Lanterns. And I think the best case scenario is these characters kind of, unfortunately, these characters get connected to this, whatever color spectrum they are now, like how stories will be run by the fact that he was part of the Sinestro Corps, and was really good at it, you know, and John's stories will be run by the fact that he was in the Purple Corps, and, you know, and then connecting to that, Kyle's stories are going to be connected to the fact that he's run by the Blue Corps. And, you know, Gantt, it seems to imply that he's the guy. I mean, he's like, you're just not ready yet, but you are the guy, you know, so.
Yeah.
You know, as someone who's a Kyle fan, I think Kyle is really, besides getting a rematch with Sinestro, he's really done all he can in the GLC comics. I mean, I want to see more. I think him as a character, he's done enough. You know, he's kind of headlined those titles and led the way for long enough time that I think he needs a little bit more exposure as his own character. So I'd like
he
to
needs
see him
to move on.
I don't even care if he's a Blue Lantern. I'd like to see him do something else. But I don't really think they're going to kill him. I mean, maybe, right? But they already killed him last crossover. Do you think that'll make any difference?
No, well, what's the logic, real though? Time.
Maybe John will just join the Purple Corps, you know, get him out of the way, because though he's on the cover holding Kyle's
hat. he's looking pretty prominent on the covers to come.
I mean, the implication is that
whether the mask on the ground is metaphorical or, and there's that, don't forget that big blue light behind him, man. That I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. So
in DC, you know, is not subtle.
I mean, would I prefer to Kyle to get in the Blue Lantern Corps? I mean, I feel like it would just be redundant to what they did with
Ion.
Him being Ion, exactly. Just give him something else to do for a couple months till they get tired of it, and either kill him or take his powers away and throw him back in the
pile. Jeff pulls rank and says, "Hey, stop that! Put him back in whatever."
We've seen him pull that. I mean, it's almost like we should stop talking about Kyle, you know, because we've seen him pulled out of the promotion in such a prolific way, you know, for the past couple of years. It's all about the three easy to define Green Lanterns, you know, the cocky one, the stoic one, and then the regular one, you know, and he doesn't really fit into that kind of mold as a character, you know, the young one. I mean, because he's not even that young anymore, you know, the rookie, he's not even that much of a rookie anymore. So, I mean, you know, it's hard to define him with one, you know, characteristic. So he's been kind of pushed out of the spotlight, you know, he's just the other White Lantern, I guess. For a while now, so it's almost like we should kind of get used to that and start talking about John Stewart or more.
He's a slightly colored one.
Yeah, I guess, right? He's half Mexican, right?
And then Irish. Yeah. Irish didn't used to be white, so slightly colored.
Well,
getting back to what I was trying to allude to earlier.
Please.
Yeah. When this is all said and done and Krona's defeated and we don't have to worry about the next big threat just yet, when they give those rings back, however they do it, it's like, where do they go from there? If Kyle is a Blue Lantern, fine, he's off the Odom. If John is still in the GLC, he's there, but does Hal go palling around with his new Guardians again? And does Guy say, screw it, I'm off to Star and Peter Milligan's run? It's like, no matter what happens during this little event, what comes after it is most important.
I think I think we're going to see Gantt rejoining with the Guardians, and that's going to the storyline's going to end on that, and it's going to be a bad thing. The idea being they're going to be like, you know what, we have to be harder than we were before, you know. And maybe you're right. Maybe he'll hook back up with the new Guardians.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, because we've been toying with this idea that the Guardians are going to die soon, forever now. I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up sacrificing themselves sometime during this.
I think that's coming at some point. I mean,
we saw the flash forward though, and the flash forward.
All the way back in Agent Orange.
No, I'm talking about the flash forward in the last part of the New Guardian arc, where they actually said like, oh, one of the Lanterns is gonna leave the core, and Hal Jordan is more dangerous than ever, you know, and Gantt's the one saying this to someone who's captured, who might be Krona, you know, might be Atrocitus, you know, and with the bag over their head, you know, and he's staying in front of a bunch of Guardians. The implication being Gantt's going to rejoin the Guardians, and you know, they're going to be still around. So it'd be nice.
Which only gives, you know, more credit to Kyle's going to end up running the Blue Lantern.
And we still have to fucking get that storyline with Alan Scott and
the other
magic users. Yeah.
Hal attacking the Guardians. That's still coming.
It was even sort of referenced in the Legion feature with all the magic users in the universe being sealed on that one planet.
Unless that'd be the best place for it, because bringing Alan Scott into this story just would be awkward.
It would make a lot of sense for Alan Scott to be in the story, actually. I mean, he's got a ring. He's got a Green Lantern ring that is by no means, you know, going to be.
We tinkered with that during Blackest Night and saying, oh, it's a different kind of light. And I just think at this point, you might as well just keep him out of the loop.
He's not fighting Black Lanterns. He'd be fighting other Green Lanterns, and it worked fine on them.
Well, I'm okay with him taking. I'm not.
Unless he's paralyzed.
Yeah. I could care less. I'm one of those guys that really could care less about Alan Scott getting involved in the storylines. I mean, I think that just adds another layer of confusion to it. But, they made a point to kind of try to tie it all in together. And with Saint Walker over in JLA, we're not really talking about that, but he's talking about interacting with Jade's energy in this brand new way. But then they're kind of saying he's also interacting with Starman.
I think it's Starman.
So it kind of moots. Yeah, so it's mooting the whole point. Like, it's almost making it like, oh, he can use any energy, so don't worry about it. They're all connected, which is actually removing them further away from the Green Lantern core stuff. They're just going to make it about this general energy thing. Like, Brightest Day has had nothing, as we've slowly but surely discovered, it's had nothing to do with the Green Lanterns or any Lanterns really whatsoever, you know? So we're all just
Well, let's
like
put it this way.
Thing.
Just we discovered that in issue 5.
You discovered that. The rest of us are stubborn.
Congratulations. Well, just to throw this out there real quick, since me, Eric, and Colton still reach LA.
I
read the last two issues.
You don't have to, guys. Come on. You don't have to anymore. It's all right.
You don't have to take the bullet. Starman and Saint Walker have this, you know, new power bond. And if, let's say, assuming again that Kyle keeps that blue ring.
And Jade,
Does Kyle usurp Saint Walker as the head of the Blue Lanterns, or does he go under him?
Was Saint Walker ever the head of the Blue Lanterns? I mean,
that's his position now, though.
But I don't think
isn't there a process like you have to
wait and meditate for a couple of days?
Yeah. And then you have to, newest one has to start recruiting people. So they could just do that.
And that goes to what Gantt just mentioned in this last GLC issue, that he wasn't prepared for it yet. Yeah, I'm thinking that Kyle gets pushed out of the book, and we can just chalk that under him being under St. Walker's tutelage or something.
Or something, yeah. I mean, there's also the, what's her name? Saeed and stuff like that is still running around out there, and you know, no, Gantt has some kind of stake.
That's a plot hole more so than something waiting to happen.
Yeah, that's very just, much. I guess she was still supposed to be
Larfleeze's guardian.
Yeah, Larfleeze's guardian.
Maybe she'll show up. She'll probably have a couple of lives.
He's dead.
We didn't see. He's presumably in the book, right?
Yeah,
he's
dead.
He's somewhere with Krona.
Yeah. Weird.
Krona took Obsidian out of him, right? And then,
I mean, Saeed could always show up again and then remind Gantt that, you know, hey, like, remember we used to date, and that's why we started the Blue Lantern Corps in the first place. Like, oh yeah, sorry, I was being such a dick the last couple of weeks, you know, and like. You know, I mean, it's possible. I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of storylines kind of spinning in the air, you know? So, and like Wes has said, they've been hinting at this whole, we have to overthrow the Guardians for, like, at least 3 years now, you know? I keep waiting for the next storyline to be that one, and they just won't do it, you know? This was supposed to be the one, and now they're still not doing it. So, I mean, you know, I guess I am.
There's been pretty clearly some revisions of their whole Guardian storyline. I mean, with the whole 10 laws and stuff. I mean, that's evidence.
Well, the more they push this Guardians must be thrown out story back the more they have to work with. Because then, I mean, it's just, okay, we still got this to work with. We still got this. This could lead up to that. You know, yes. you have to make the story work. You can't just say, all right, Guardians, that was your last straw. I mean, because once you get punched in the face by Arisia, of all people, you kind of blow up your last, you know, that's the last straw. You don't get punched in the face and say, all right, you get three more chances.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, I mean, what's unfortunate is that so many storylines have been not even just – we talk about event fatigue and event-driven and how that's bad. I mean, so many storylines have been so pushing – selling something besides the actual story that, like, every new storyline takes elements of the story before but then develops brand new stuff, which you normally should be excited about, but it doesn't really.
It's just kind of the last thing to decide.
Yeah, it pushes these storylines that, like, it's like always in sight. Like, Larfleeze is going to take Saeed. Isn't that crazy? We'll forget about it for the next 2 years. Like, then why would I – Blackest Night. And the same thing with Blackest Night. Everything introduced in Blackest Night is now moot. You know, I mean, and it's like, I don't necessarily mind because I don't like love those stories, but, and you're introducing these new elements, which normally I'd be excited about, but you're not. You're really just regurgitating the same stuff as opposed to saying like random DC heroes get multicolor rings. Now it's like, well, random GLs get multicolor rings. It's almost like, well, shouldn't you have done this first?
It's like counterfeited buildup because once they finally tackle it, then you say, well, I built this up 2 years ago. And it's not really build up. It's more of a loose plot hole that you just left behind.
Yeah, like I don't understand why somebody like Kyle could watch the Lanterns execute their prisoners in the Cyan cells before Blackest Night and just be totally okay with them afterwards. I mean, you know, in the worst moment, they could the worst moment to do anything crazy and shitty like that. The Guardians give in to like this horrible idea and just start murdering people, completely antithetical to anything they've ever stood for before. And yet everybody's just for weeks afterwards just flying around being like, eh, they didn't mean it. You know, I mean, like nobody's even addressed that. Like executing prisoners of war.
And
like,
it was such a standoff moment for them.
It was huge.
Like, no, we're completely against this.
Yeah, like. You know, like, and Kyle is like, what are you doing? You can't do this. And since then, he's been like, oh, sorry, guys. I can hold a blue ring if you want. Like, where did the characterization just transform for? You know, I mean, it's frustrating.
Where did your balls go?
Yeah, it's just the whole thing. It's like they're getting these interesting ideas, you know, and it's kind of the Guardians being shitty and standoffish and kind of like these calculating assholes has always been kind of around ever since, like, Ganthet's tale, you know, but, like – to actually confront them and to have a storyline that's like Green Lantern versus the Guardians. I mean, that's something that like you really could do something amazing with, you know, and maybe that's what Jeff's talking about, his like trilogy of trilogies. Like maybe that is the end game in the long run to have Hal and Larfleeze and stuff run the universe and stuff. But I mean, get to it already, you know, and if you're not going to get to it, come on fucking plot, you know, like write a plot. Don't just have people fire human missiles at each other and wear different colored shirts. You know, I mean, this isn't a fucking video game. It's a goddamn story, you know, end of rant.
And on that note, I say
adieu.
Tune in next week. Be sure to check us out at www.thegreenlanterncorps.com.
You can also email us at contact@thegreenlanterncorps.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at @theGLCorps.
And be sure to check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/GLSpotlight.
You can reach our voicemail line at 313-GL1-2814. That's 313-451-2814.
Thanks for listening, and check us out next time, and please stop masturbating when I'm talking to you.
Don't forget to check out Kirby Crackle, the performance of our opening theme, Ring Capacity, at kirbycracklemusic.com. Also check out the Roy Clark Method, the performance of our ending theme, Sector 2814, at freewebs.com/Roy Clark Method.
This magic ring, it is the color green. It can do anything. Sometimes it speaks to me. It says, how? What have you done with your life? People around you keep dying. Use your will to right the wrong. And don't make us wait. We'll be right back.
I love that rant that actually led into what you were actually doing for the past week. Different shirts. Different shirts.
You try to change it up sometimes. Talk about jail, you know, the DCU or whatever. DCU Online, which I haven't been able to goddamn play today.
Fucking I haven't played that in a couple of weeks, so.
Yeah, no, I know you haven't.
You abandoned me.
You already got your goddamn Green Lantern hoodie. What else do you need, you fucker?
What else is there to do?
It's an MMO. You punch things and level up.
I almost got my full best armor. I would have gotten it. Well, at least I would have gotten one more piece down today.
Would have gotten it if it wasn't for you meddling kids.
I can have that armor.
Isn't there an April release thing?
There's supposed to be a release every month, but they haven't even remotely announced what the next release date's going to be. This is going to Swamp Thing.
I thought it was Google. Two-Face.
Two-Face happened. They did Two-Face.
Okay.
And they gave you Alan Scott's boots. Who cares?
Sinestro's gloves?
Yeah, I have Sinestro's gloves, and they have Alan Scott's boots. You can find those somewhere. I think
he doesn't wear gloves. What do you mean?
Yeah, I say Sinestro has
his gauntlet. It's like the Sinestro
the
core
bracers.
Like,
the armband.
Yeah, yeah.
The bracers. Yes.
The 16 Live Strong bracelets he has on his arm. Yeah.
They're gonna give you Hal's hat.
Okay. Yeah, they do some random shit. I have Power Girl's gloves, and then I have Dr. Fate's gloves. The exact same gloves, except Power Girl's gloves are slightly longer. I have Wonder Girl's belt. I have Supergirl's boots. They give you a Robin baseball cap, which is so fucking random. It's like a baseball cap that has a Robin symbol on it, like I'm an asshole. I have a steel baseball cap, which is just a baseball cap that looks like it's made of steel. It's like, I'm like, that's not even anything, you fucking guy. People just think it's a cap made of steel. I'm like, no, there's a guy. The guy's steel. He's cool. They're like, whatever.
haven't you been to Metropolis?
No, there's actually, and the funny thing is, if Batman's your mentor, your first level armor is steel. And he's standing there being like, hi, I'm steel. Here's the armor. I'm like, that's him. They're like, I know, it's crazy. Anyway, la la. Fuck. And it's so frustrating to play with everybody who plays. Nobody knows any about the comics. Like, the most you get is one guy's like, yeah, I really want to get that Fortress of Solitude. I want to get that Superman stuff because I'm a big fan of Superman, you know, and then like make some random comment about a Superman story from like 1989. I'm like, you're a fucking asshole. That story doesn't even count anymore, you fucking dick, you know. And the same thing, the girl's like, oh, Wonder Woman, this is my thing. That's why I'm playing this. I'm obsessed with Wonder Woman. I was like, oh, yeah, do you like Gail Simone's run? She's like, a what's a who? I'm like, yeah, you fucker. You fucker. Like, yo, you're a big fan of Linda Carter.
How dare you not read comics, you fucker?
Who's Linda Carter? I'm like, Gardner? I'm like, yeah, Linda Gardner, you fucking asshole.
Whatever. Rage. I'm so glad I'm playing that game.
I fell asleep. I honestly fell asleep during this episode.
I was like, I get the conversation.
I'm really having a doozy right tonight, I'll tell you that truth. 95% of that episode's got to be thrown in the garbage.
We went 55 episodes on Spotlight.
Good times.
And that's not even included. Yeah, we did a couple extra episodes with specials and stuff.
Yeah. That's sense. You guys never should have done that.
It's a good thing it's dead now.
I think we're going to go back to the old numbering when we get to 100. When we get to 100, it's going to be like, hey, guys, it's 100th episode, not our 45th.
Yeah, you sent in all those postcards, so we've got to renumber it.
Because people demanded it. People asked for it. People cannot get enough of it. Issue number 100 of Green Lantern Corecast has not been released.
She needs a little bit of breasts.
She's not supposed to have breasts. She's supposed to have tiny breasts. I mean,
not tiny. That's beyond flat.
She's supposed
that's
to have
like
8-cup breasts. Like that's like
that's
her
not
thing.
8-cup.
So she's not concave. Is what you're saying?
It's not even 8-cup.
That's not even a cup.